Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. In this life, we constantly face temptation. So how can we set up some safeguards and boundaries in our life to protect us from the temptations? Things like envy and greed and lust and anger. The truth is, when we are flirting with temptation, we are flirting with disaster. And so we are so thankful you've joined us this morning for our service. You can also join us in person in downtown Galax at 227 South Main Street. We have services each Sunday at 9:15 and 11 a.m. Thanks for joining us.
I hope you're excited about Thanksgiving coming up, and it's going to be a great week. We're excited about our community meal coming up on Wednesday night. It's always a really special time when we get to do our Thanksgiving community meal. Not only do we have a big turnout, a lot of people come for it. It's just a great time of fellowship. So if you've never helped with that, let me invite you to join in, and you can come, you can eat here. It's not just for people. The meal is for everyone. And so invite you guys to be part of that. It really is just a great time. We still need lots of help bringing food and fixing food and serving and cleaning up afterwards. So if you've not helped before, we ask that you sign up in advance for anybody that's bringing stuff or planning on helping, because it helps us to know what to plan on and like how much food we need to buy in addition to what you guys bring. So anyway, you can sign up at the information desk for that. We would really appreciate it. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year, and not just because of the turkey, but it's just a time when family gets together and we can slow down a little bit. And I don't know about you, but it seems like in our culture today that we've kind of forgotten a little bit about Thanksgiving. It's a holiday that's been forgotten by our culture. When President Abraham Lincoln, when he made Thanksgiving a national holiday, he called it a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Mouthful, but he was saying it's a day for us, right, to thank God for what we have. It's a day for us to praise God because of all that he's done for us. And so even when our president, when he is saying, Abraham Lincoln, when he established it, he's saying, this is a day about God. It's not about us. It's a day about God. That should get our attention a little bit. It's interesting today that many Americans, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's like we try to rush through Thanksgiving so we can get to the shopping on the other side. And so we can get straight into the Christmas season. And so we go straight from Thanksgiving Day. And now many stores are even opening on Thanksgiving. Then we have Black Friday, which you've got all the crazy sales, all the stuff going on Black Friday. Then it kind of continues through the weekend shopping. And then you hit Cyber Monday because they got to keep the money flowing. So you got to keep spending all your money on Monday. And now they've got Giving Tuesday, which is when all the nonprofits will send out organizations send out emails saying you need to, now that you've spent all your money, you need to give us some too, just because they know you feel bad about how much you spent on yourself. And so that's kind of the Thanksgiving weekend now that we have. You kind of go through it and rush through it just so you can, and then it's like every weekend from between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's not many this year because it's Thanksgiving is so late, it's like just a rush. You know, all the stores are packed, and that's kind of the world, the culture we live in now. It's all about what do we need to buy, what do we need to get, man, and the advertisements on TV are telling us, if you don't buy this, you're going to be miserable. That's really what they tell us, right? You've got to have this. You need this. You need this to be happy. You need this to be successful. You need this to lose weight. You need this to gain weight. You need this to look pretty. You need this. It's all that stuff, just commercial after commercial that we're soaking in. And here's what I want to challenge us a little bit this morning. That's not really what Thanksgiving is all about. And that's really not what this whole season from Thanksgiving to Christmas is all about. I think we've been blinded by how much stuff we have and how much stuff we think we need. And for some reason, we feel like we deserve more and we deserve better. It's interesting, when President Lincoln established Thanksgiving, he commented that no human counsel hath devised nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are simply the gracious gifts of the Most High God. He wanted to remind everybody that the things that we have that we should be thankful for, it's not just stuff that we've earned. It's not just stuff that, it's not the result of our human effort. It's simply because God is good and God has blessed us, and everything we have is the gift of God. And when we get to that point, when we realize and we start to understand a little bit of that, it does change how we view Thanksgiving. Does change how we view Christmas, right? Instead of a holiday, we just kind of scoot through to, and it's all about the presents. Then we start understanding, wait a minute, we need to be content with what we have, and what we have is a blessing from God. I've shared before, and just a reminder for all of us, but you do realize that every one of us in this room, right, just on the basis of us living here in the United States, where we do, we are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed with religious freedom. We're blessed with material things. We're blessed with food, with a place, with shelter. There's a lot of talk in our country about the top 1%. You realize, like, worldwide, most of us are in the top 1% in the world. All of us, we have been blessed beyond measure, and we don't deserve it. And it's not a result of what we've done. It's a result of God blessing us. And for us to understand that every single thing we have is a gift from God. And then how do we use those gifts to glorify God and to benefit others? And that's really what this season is all about. It's interesting, going all the way back to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We have a passage here, and God is warning the Israelites. It's like when you realize you have a lot of stuff, it can take your focus off of God. And this is what Moses shares. He says, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, his regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous, and you have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. And he did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I've achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. That's a reminder to us. Right? Again, that God is good and that God has blessed us. And that whenever we are blessed, we are tempted to kind of claim it as our own effort. Whenever things are going good, it's tempting to think only about ourselves and not think about God and where he has brought us from and what he has brought us through. And so I want to challenge us here a little bit today. We're in this series called Flirting with Disaster. And what happens when we flirt with disaster is these little sins that we think aren't that serious sometimes get us in big trouble. And these sins, things this morning we're talking about envy and greed, those things that we think, that I don't really have a problem with that. That's somebody else. It's not me. I don't really struggle with that. And I think that's what most people would say. I'm not greedy, right? That's a bad thing. I'm not greedy. I'm not envious. I'm not jealous. But here's what happens. When things are going good, we become a little greedy. We become a little envious, and we don't even realize it sometimes. It's kind of under the surface, and it's one of those things we can cover up. We can pretend like it's not a problem. It's interesting that when Paul is talking about the end times, he talks about a culture that turns very selfish, and it's something we have to guard against. In 2 Timothy, he says this. He says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there's going to be some difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they'll hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless and be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God." Now, when I read that, I've got to be honest, right? When we turn on the TV and you see the crowds of people trying to get in the stores on Black Friday, and you see people fighting, right? See people, you know, just whole riots breaking out, and you see all these stores that have to hire extra security just to provide protection for the people shopping, right? You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen, I've not tried it yet. I've been wanting to try the new Popeye's chicken sandwich. I know that feels like I'm cheating and betraying Chick-fil-A, but I want to at least try it just to see what all the hoopla is about. But it's, you know, have you seen all the stores, all the fighting that's gone on in line for people trying to get a chicken sandwich? It's because of this verse, right? In the last days, people are going to love only themselves. They're going to be disobedient, ungrateful, nothing sacred, not even chicken sandwiches. I mean, they're going to be unloving, unforgiving, no self-control. That's the world we live in. That's what we're dealing with, right? When you turn on the news, that's what you see. That's what you see happen. And so, again, we kind of filter all this around, and we've got to understand what's happening. We've forgotten our heritage. Why else would we replace a day set aside for God and thankfulness with a day set aside for greed and ourselves? And that's really what's happened a little bit. So I want to encourage us today, let's really be thankful this holiday season. Now, let's really be thankful for what God has done. Let's not turn this into another day about ourselves and another day to worship ourselves, but let's turn it into a day to worship God, because we have been blessed and we have so much to be thankful for. The Bible says in Ephesians and in chapter 5, verse 20, that we are to give thanks to everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have so much to be thankful for this morning. We have a warm church that we can come meet in. We have awesome time of music and worship together. We have a time we can open up scripture together and learn together. We've got a lot to be thankful for just here this morning. God has been so good to us. And here's, I think we really got to kind of dig a little deeper this morning, though, to see what we can learn. If you're following along in your notes, let's jump in this morning. Envy and greed, they've robbed us of our happiness. That's really, if you kind of look at our society today, you again, just basic marketing will tell you that if you don't have this product, then you're not going to be fulfilled and you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be satisfied. And you've got to have this, and it may be the new cell phone that's out, the new iPhone. It may be the new cooking utensil. It may be, you know, I've heard HGTV called pornography for homes, right? Because you see all that stuff that you will never have, unrealistic depictions of stuff that you'll never have in your homes. That's kind of what, I mean, that's our society. We see all that stuff and we want it, we desire it, and then we look at what we have and we think, man, I don't have that. I must not, and it kills our happiness. We lose our joy because we think, man, I need that. I want that. I don't have it. And so that's what temptation does. It steals what we need most, our joy and our purpose and our fulfillment and our happiness. And so we walk around miserable. And that's really what envy and greed do. We can trace the roots of this all the way back to Genesis. We see this is not something new. If you look in Genesis chapter 4 in the story of Cain and Abel, we see jealousy and envy at play here. If you read the story, I think it's helpful to do this for us. It just says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. He just got some and took to the Lord. But Abel also brought a gift, the very best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry and he looked dejected. And so right there, what we see, right, is that envy of his brother, he was already angry. He was already dejected. There's no joy for Cain. The Lord asked Cain, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. I love that verse because it tells us, right, that's exactly what Satan is doing. He's crouching at the door. He's wanting to entice us. That's what we've been talking about throughout this series. Satan is constantly trying to lure us away from God and away from what is right and away from what is holy, and he makes it look good. Oh, but this will make you happy. There's nothing wrong with wanting more stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting what someone else has. And so we start being envious. Start being greedy. For Cain, what we see happen is a progression that took place. He was angry. He was dejected. He was upset. And it led him not to just be envious of his brother. It led him to the point of murdering his own brother. That's the scary thing about sin. If we don't subdue it, if we don't acknowledge it, it grows and it grows and it grows beyond anything that we had ever thought or imagined, and it takes control over us. And while envy and greed may seem like these little sins that don't really cause a lot of problems, I'm telling you, if you don't get it under control, it's going to grow and it's going to cause all sorts of problems in your life. And what it does, it tells us that we aren't satisfied. It's what both the greed and envy do. That it tells us we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with the stuff we have. We're not satisfied with where we live. We're not even satisfied with our job. We're not satisfied with how others treat us. We're not even satisfied with who we're married to. And so when you look at all those things, we just see how it just kind of grows and it grows and it grows and it leads to a life that is devoid of happiness and joy. And so here's what I want to do this morning. Let's kind of break it down. Let's understand what these things really are. Let's kind of define our terms, so to speak. Let's talk about greed first. Here's what greed says. Greed says, I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied with what I have, so I want more. The dictionary says greed is a selfish or excessive desire for more than is needed or deserved. And so it's not just, I need more and I need more and I'm never satisfied. There's this selfish connotation with it. And it may be more stuff, it may be more power, it may be more prestige, more popularity, but I need more and nothing will satisfy me because I just need more and more and more. It's interesting. Jesus talks so much about greed and the danger of it. He says things like, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. And so Jesus, there's all these parables about the rich young fool and about money. And why is that? Because money and our stuff and our possessions and materialism, it's such an easy temptation for us. It's so easy for us to get caught up in wanting more and more and more. And when we do that, we take our eyes off of God and we start putting them on ourselves and on our stuff for our fulfillment. And I'm telling you this, right? We know this, that our material things will never bring us true happiness. It's amazing when you see professional athletes interviewed and when you see them go bankrupt and they say, I thought there would be more to it than this. I thought I would be more happy when I reached this point of success in my life. And what they found out is things don't buy happiness, right? We look at our things, and what we've got to learn is that contentment comes from God and not from our stuff. And so when we focus on what we want and we often complain about what we don't have, that shows that we're guilty of greed. And so let me just ask you this morning, have you been complaining about what you don't have? I want more. I really deserve it. You know, and it just happens so quickly. And more often than not, the more we get, the more we want. Have you ever noticed that it was interesting? Several years ago, I saw a study where they interviewed people at all different points in the workforce and how much money they made. And the question was simply, well, how much do you need to be happy? How much do you need to make to be happy? And the interesting thing was, is like at all points of the spectrum, the answer was pretty much the same. A little bit more than I'm making now. If they were making $50,000, they said, if I made $60,000 or $70,000, I would be pretty happy. If they were making $100,000, well, I need $120,000. If they're making $20,000, then I need at least $30,000. Doesn't matter what they were making. It's like, I need more. And I'm just telling you, that's greed kind of slipping in our life and telling us we're not content, we're not satisfied with what we have, we need more. So let's talk about envy. Envy kind of takes it one step farther. And envy says, I want more than you. Envy is like, it's not just I want more for me, I want more than you. And so I see what you have, and I'm jealous of it. I'm envious of it. And so I either want it taken away from you. I want ill will towards my friend, or I just want to have more than you so I can be more important, be more, you know, I can kind of brag about it a little bit. That's what envy does. A simple definition of envy is you want what belongs to someone else. If you look a little more detailed, envy is a resentful, a dissatisfied longing for another's possessions, position, fortune, achievements, or success. And so what we see here is that envy and greed, they're very close cousins. They're very close cousins, and jealousy kind of jumps right in there as well, and even in the New Testament. Many modern translations will kind of interchangeably use envy and jealousy, depending on what translation you see. And so what's interesting is this, again, you see this throughout the Bible. Another word that ties in with envy is to covet something that's not yours. You have a desire for it, a longing for it. You see something and you want it. I could explain it like greed tells you when you watch the TV and you think, man, I've got to have that new iPhone. My iPhone, it's a year old. Its battery won't work. Screen's busted. I need a new iPhone. That's greed, right? I mean, that's longing for something that you don't have. Envy says, I want, you know, if I can't have one, no one else can have one either. If I can't have a phone, no one else in my family is going to have one. If I can't have it, I won't, or envy even says, I want one better than everybody else, right? And so that's, that we've got to be careful, because this just kind of seeps in, kind of just grabs, and it starts growing, and we don't even realize how unsatisfied we are sometimes. Here's what I want you to know. The next point is simply this, is that when we focus on what we don't have, it leads to envy. And that envy then leads to greed and disaster. All right? That focus on what we don't have, it leads to envy. Man, they have it and I don't. I want it. And then I need more and more and more. And then it just starts growing and growing. It's what we see with Cain and Abel. We see this. And it's interesting that often this even happens within families. We're all going to have temptations. Every one of us, we're going to struggle with temptations. It's how we respond to them that shows our maturity. And you're going to see things that you want and you don't have. That's part of life. I understand that. But it's not what we focus on. It's not what consumes us. It's not what we spend all of our time dreaming and researching and thinking about. I'm telling you, you can pull up to church and you can have envious thoughts in church. You can pull up and you think, oh my gosh, they got a new car. How did they afford that? I can't believe they got a new car. Oh, they're not here this week. They're on vacation. Oh, it must be nice to be able to go on vacation. I can't afford that. Do you ever catch yourself saying things like that? That's envy speaking, right? That's envy speaking. That's envy grabbing hold of us and trying to get us to be jealous of what other people have and what they do. And instead of being sincerely happy for them, we become envious of them. And if you're not careful, it even leads to you start rejoicing when bad things happen to other people. Oh, they lost their job. Well, maybe now they'll see how the rest of us live. It's those statements like that. They're like, where did that come from? It comes from Satan, and it comes from envy. And so it's Proverbs 27:4 says this. Says, anger is cruel, wrath is like a flood, but jealousy, it's even more dangerous. Now, we all know, we see the visible results of what anger can do. It's easy to understand the danger of anger. But let me just ask you, are we as scared of what can happen from jealousy and envy? Because it's even more dangerous. And we don't even realize what it's doing to us. So let me just ask you this morning, if the devil was trying to entice you and make you envious of something, what would he use as bait? What is it? What's the bait? What gets you? And it may be different things. It's different things for different people, right? There's different things that kind of grab hold of us and that we're tempted to want and to desire. And I'll tell you, it's having things is not bad. It's not like all stuff that we have is bad. It's when those things possess us instead of we possess them that we're in trouble. It's when we have to have something and that becomes our sole focus. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. And it leads to all sorts of things like broken relationships because we're envious of other people. What is it that Satan is using to tempt you? I think we've just got to be aware. We've got to be honest enough with ourselves to say there are things out there that Satan is using that are pulling me away from God and others. So if we understand that, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to overcome that? There's hope, there's help in Christ, and we can do it. Here's three things this morning that we can do to overcome greed and envy. The first is we cultivate a healthy heart. We cultivate a healthy heart. When our spiritual heart is healthy, then those things that are trying to pull us away from God, all of a sudden they don't look so shiny and alluring as before. It's interesting. I've been reading lately. I've been on a kick. I'm reading all sorts of books about the heart and heart health and cardiac rehab and all this stuff. I'm just trying to learn as much as I can because I want to be around here for as long as I can, all right? And so what I'm learning is that you've got all these different risk factors, and the way you keep your heart healthy is you start eliminating as many risk factors as you can. You keep your heart healthy, you eat well, you exercise, all that stuff that we know, but that we don't always do. And there's different things depending on what, you know, your heart's going through and different medicines and all this stuff. But ultimately, when our heart is healthy, right, it affects every aspect of our life. We feel better. We're stronger. We have more energy. It just, when your heart is unhealthy, you're tired, you're weak, it affects your quality of life, not just the length of your life. And so the same thing is true spiritually. We've got to get to the point where we have a healthy heart, where we're spending time with God, where we're focusing on Him, and where things that are trying, again, where Satan tries to tempt us, we can resist it. Because we're so close to God, we automatically recognize when Satan's trying to tempt us. That's having a healthy heart, and it consists of having a good diet of Scripture, a good diet of spending time, with God through prayer and in His Word, and just growing and learning and hearing. You know, I think worship on Sunday morning is a part of that, because when we come together, we learn, we grow. It's the encouragement we need to stand strong. Wow, I feel like worship is such an important part of what we do. But when we do that, when we cultivate a healthy heart, man, it really affects every aspect of our body, of our soul. Proverbs 14:30, it says this. It says, a heart at peace, it gives life to the body. But envy, it rots the bones. And that's what envy does. Again, we can hide it. We can pretend like we aren't not dealing with it. Envy is one of those sins that you could be really struggling with envy and people around you don't even know it. It's easy to cover up. But what is it doing? Down at your core, it's rotting your bones, rotting you from the inside out. And that's why it's so dangerous. That's why it's so dangerous. And so we've got to learn to cultivate that healthy heart, because envy, you know what envy feeds off of? It feeds off of ungratefulness. I'm not grateful for what I have, so I'm going to be, I want something else. I'm not happy with what I have. I'm dissatisfied, and so I need something else to bring me joy. If you want to overcome that and have a healthy heart, then you just start practicing thankfulness. Every time that you get tempted, you just start. You want me to tell you a real practical way you can overcome it? Every time you're tempted to be envious of something, you just start listing out what you're thankful for. God, okay, you have blessed me this way. You have blessed me, I've been blessed. You get frustrated with your car that broke down. Okay, God, you have blessed me with the ability where I have a car I can get around in. You have blessed me with so much. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, we start focusing on what we do have. It's a matter of perspective. And so we just start thinking about, God, you have saved me. That right there should be enough for just to stop the whole conversation. We've been saved. Just that one fact alone should make all of us grateful. Because apart from God, we deserve hell for our sins. And yet God loves us so much that He saves us. That one thing alone should make us grateful to God. But we could keep going. We could remember how God has answered prayers. We could remember what God has brought us through. We could remember how God was there in our time of need. And when we do that, it helps us have a healthy heart where we can understand, man, I've got a lot to be thankful for. Here's the second thing that we can do to overcome greed and envy. And it's simply we focus on God instead of ourselves. We focus on God instead of ourselves. This is what happens so often is we just start thinking over and over again about what we need, about what we deserve. We start focusing on ourselves. We start focusing on what we don't have. And if you want to learn, if you want to overcome this envy and greed, instead of focusing just on ourselves, we start thinking about God. It's funny, the scripture doesn't say you need to love yourself with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not what scripture says, is it? It says love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, I may make a few of you mad, but I think too often we think, and we'll even say, you've got to love yourself before you love others. And that sounds really good, right? The Bible, that's what Jesus says, you love your neighbor as yourself. So you've got to love yourself. But in context, right, he says, first, what's the greatest commandments? You got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. God comes first. And when we focus on God, when we spend all of our time, if you spend all the time focusing on yourself, naturally, you're going to become selfish. When we spend all of our time focusing on God, we're going to have a proper view of ourselves in relation to God. And so this is important. It sounds easy, but it's not. And so it's funny. There's a whole concept called concentration breeds conformity. And what it means is what you concentrate on, you kind of become like. And so if you're constantly focusing on a bad habit of someone else, if you're not careful, you're going to start doing that yourself. It means that when you're focusing on something, when you're thinking about it all the time, that's why we say to teenagers, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because what you focus on is what you become like. And so for us, we've got to realize that if we're focusing on God, we're going to become more like God. If we're focusing constantly on ourselves, what are we going to become like? More like the flesh. We've got to be careful there. And so God really does come first. And then finally, if we want to overcome greed and envy, we've got to learn the importance of contentment. We've got to learn the importance of contentment. We've got to remember that if we have nothing else, if we have Jesus, we have enough. If all we have is Jesus, if you strip away everything you own and you still have Jesus, you can be content. That's why Paul was in a prison cell and he wrote the whole book of Philippians about being joyful and content. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he was in a jail cell. He said, I've learned what it means to have a lot. I've learned what it means to have nothing. And yet in all things, my strength is through Christ. And so for us, just to understand this, is we've got to understand contentment has nothing to do with what we own. It has everything to do with who we know. And if you know Jesus Christ, you can be content. And so when we understand that, right, it gives us strength to handle anything that Satan throws our way. 1 Timothy 6 says this. Says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world. We can take nothing with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich, they fall in temptation. They're trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself, but the love of money, envy. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That's what envy does to us. It pulls us off the path that God has for us in our life, and it pierces us with sorrow. We look back and we see what stupid things we did just to try to get more, and because we need more. It leads us to do make bad financial decisions. It leads us to say things that we regret. And so I'm just telling you, this happens in church. It happens to all of us, and we've got to realize it, that Satan wants nothing more than to make us miserable The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. It's what Jesus says in John 10:10. So when we realize that Satan wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy every ounce of happiness and contentment in our life, and when we realize we have Jesus and Jesus is enough, and we can overcome those feelings of greed, those feelings of envy, we can deal with it. When those temptations come, we know the scripture. We know what scripture says. We can answer Satan. We can recognize it's Satan trying to tempt us. So when we see that infomercial on, and I'm just telling you, I'm a sucker for infomercials sometimes. Jennifer doesn't let me buy anything off of them, but I'll be watching like, Jennifer, come in here. You got to see this. This is awesome. And she's like, it's an infomercial. I'm like, yeah, but it's cool. Now you got Kickstarter too. You got all these. The marketers, they know how our brains work. They know. They know how to get us to want stuff. And we've just got to be able to stand up against that temptation and say, okay, is this something I really need? Or is this just something that greed is driving me to buy? Again, the things aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with buying something if you need it. There's nothing wrong with even buying something if it brings you joy. But when that becomes your all-consuming focus, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start thinking our happiness and our joy is derived from the things that we own, we're in trouble. There's one last verse I want to share with you this morning, and it's simply this. It's out of 1 Corinthians. And this is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but I think there's someone here that needs to hear that, that where you are is right where God wants you to be. Live and obey and love and believe right there where you are. He goes on to say, God, it's not your marital status defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than the others. He says, I'm telling this to everybody in all the churches. Be present where you are. That's where God wants you to be. Be satisfied where you are. Be content where you are. Where you live, where your workplace, what you do, you need to learn to practice contentment. You need to learn that God is there to satisfy your deepest needs. That your stuff that you own will never satisfy you. That even the people around you will never bring you true contentment. That comes from God. And when we understand that, then we can live our life in such a way that we can be thankful for what we have. I've got a video I want to close with this morning. As the video is playing, the praise team will come back up, and then we'll enter into our response time. Let's watch this together. Thank you. So this morning, let me just ask you, what are you thankful for? What has God blessed you with? What can you just sit here this morning and say, God, I am so thankful for? What are you going to fill in the blank with? As we close each week, we give you a chance to respond to the message. And so this morning, that's my question for you. What are you thankful for? And maybe that's just something you share with your family as you leave here today. Maybe that's something you share with us. You can take out a communication card and you can write out the next steps that God is leading you to take this morning. If there's a decision you need to make, you can let us know. We would love to pray with you. We would love to meet with you. And I'll be available after the service to talk and pray with you. Maybe you want to come up to the cross and just leave something at the cross this morning. You can write out your prayer request, drop it in the box, and leave it there. We'll be praying for you this week. You can also receive communion this morning. It's a chance for believers to really reflect on what Jesus has done for them. It's a time of thankfulness where we rejoice that Jesus died for our sins. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity to respond. I would love to talk with you and pray with you and help show you what it means to be saved, to help to be born again. But as for the rest of us, we want to take this time to worship God, to be thankful to God for who He is and for what He's done. Let's stand up as we close this morning.